Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cos podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to the Macko and Cos podcast. I'm Matt Cos. That's Bob Macko. It's Bob missed you. It's been a while.
It has been. It's been a full week, Maddie. Thanks to Sean Fitzgerald, who sat in for me on Monday.
Yep.
I was busy doing some pre-production on a trailer that Georgie and I are going to shoot for a new web series concept we have. And if anyone works in film out there, it's a small group. We all consume films.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you're in the media bubble, you assume that everyone does this stuff. So that,
what, you mean you don't know what B-roll is? Come on.
Exactly. It's pretty arrogant. Yeah. You know, like, as though we, you know, if we went to like the machine shop, and, you know, we're able to identify different machines.
By the way, Bob, for someone who works in language, you know, if you went to the machine shop.
Well, I was trying to think of a job.
You know, auto repair. I mean, sure. Know, the machine shop.
Well, I didn't say auto repair because the insults would be obvious.
That is true.
And we would go down a different road.
But it does speak to the media bubble that we're in when you're like, you know, when you work at the machine shop with the machine workers.
You know, or you buy machines.
Yeah, you know, hey, who needs a machine? Hey, honey, can you go to the store and get me some machines? All right, enough of that. People are good, you know, we're wondering just, you know, what you've been up to because you've been busy and it's been taking up, you know, obviously time because what you're doing is very time consuming.
It's time consuming. That was ultimately the point I wanted to make before we got into my pretty embarrassing sidebar. I don't know why film takes so long. Like, we worked in daily television. We put a half an hour show to television every day with about 7 hours of work.
Yeah.
But film, for some strange reason, is just insanely time consuming.
Yeah, it's one of the things that I was always happy about doing TV or doing radio. It's like, okay, go. Film, it's there's so much. And then when you're there, the lighting, the sound, the lighting, the sound, the lighting, the sound. And just, it is. It's a lot of work.
So we're trucking along. We're going to start shooting on Sunday. So I don't think I'm going to do the pod on Monday, although I'll try to. If we can get together early enough. And I want to give a shout out to you, Maddie, because you trudged across the city today to make it to my place that I could save a couple hours. And I appreciate that.
No worries.
If we can find a way to do it Monday, we will. Mm-hmm. And we'll definitely do it Thursday.
All right.
So I would say 50% and 100% looking at next week.
All right, perfect. So, you know, good to give people an update on that.
I have been able to keep some eye on the sports world,
though.
I've been able to watch, because you get home at night and you actually need to shut it down.
Yeah,
so
you decompress.
Yeah, it's good brain anesthetic in a lot of ways. Although that Columbus game wasn't exactly anesthetic. That was like having a double espresso at night.
We'll get to it. Another six-goal night. And every night it's a trading. You know, is it the first line that's starring or the second line? And last night it was the second line. So, yeah, we'll get the Leafs beat Columbus 6-3. The Raptors do what they do pretty much all year. They dummy another opponent, winning by double digits against the very bad Chicago Bulls. Before we get to sports, Valentine's Day was yesterday. How was it? You all romantic? You all softy?
Now, you know, Matt, that I've been with the same person for 20 years.
Yep.
And your love grows stronger, but your need to make gestures grows weaker.
Yeah, there is an inverse relationship there.
So Valentine's Day, I'll just throw it out this way. We got together at dinner.
Yep.
And she actually bought me a present, which was really sweet. She got me a bag of Epsom salts from Shoppers Drug Mart because I have a kink in my neck.
That's very romantic. Yep.
And then we argued.
Hold on, wait a second. Did she wrap it? Did she?
It came in like a nice bag. Yeah.
Oh, like a one Shoppers
of those sparkly. Yeah. Like, no, one of those sparkly bags that has ribbon on it and stuff.
Okay, fun.
No,
fun,
it's
fun,
cute.
Fun.
It's actually kind of funny, right? Yeah. Like, here's your Epsom salts.
Yeah.
And then we argued about how much piano my daughter should practice. And that was our Valentine's Day. How was yours?
Different. In terms of gift, all I got Amy was she's had just really bad allergies and a cold. And when I was at Shoppers Drug Mart, Kleenex were off, like they were on sale. So I bought four boxes and wrapped them all up and put them in different spots of the house.
So with our collective unit, we got Epsom salts and Kleenex.
Yeah. But then met her, and, you know, we went to a couple different little bars on King Street, had a drink here, had Buck a Shuck there, and then went to some French joint on Ossington and Queen Bomer. Had a great dinner, and because I wasn't working today, I could make a 9:15 reservation, because you couldn't do that during morning radio. You know, morning radio, it's a 6:30.
You would practically have to drive to the studio by the time you were done dessert.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And you know, that would be very irresponsible. So yeah, so that was my
I always marvel at your life, Matt, how you guys, and it's a criticism for sure. But you know, not one that I don't have some affection for.
Yeah.
Is how you guys take every opportunity you can to just amuse yourselves. Yeah. It is so amazing to me.
Yeah.
And you know what? You don't have to apologize for it.
And I won't.
Why? No. And even if I did say, hey, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
Nor would you change it.
Uh-huh.
It's a beautiful thing. But my life is basically built around what needs to be done today.
Yes.
And yours is built around what would I like to do today.
True story, during commercial breaks the other day on radio, I was going through the wine menu of the restaurant we went for dinner last night. So then we got there, I knew the bottle I wanted to order. It was this Spanish Cabernet.
You see, I think Charlotte should practice at least 20 minutes a day because it's through repetition that you learn.
And the interesting thing is the area where this wine was sourced from, Penendez, is usually where cava is made. So you don't expect Cabernet Sauvignon to be done in this area.
I don't know, Matt. I think you're making some cava right now. So shall we get into the Leafs, my friend?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. So here's my first thought before we get anywhere into breaking down the game and the fun blue wave that has returned, and they're 9-1 in their last 10, and they look amazing.
It's glorious.
Okay. Do you want my meaningless roster observation, or would you like my let's put a pin in this for now observation?
No. I love all roster talk. Okay. I love roster talk.
I hope they trade Matt Martin, even just for his sake. Mm-hmm. He's got a couple years left on his deal. You eat a little salary, but they've got too many wingers. And
trade him to Ottawa. They did. They've managed to get Phaneuf, traded Phaneuf, and they have 5 years left on that deal.
We could probably get to that in a bit too. Probably should. No, it's just. But I was also thinking, Toronto's not done trying to find the right veterans to work with the young kids that they have. The kids are going to drive the bus, but you still need some veterans to contribute. And as we talked about, it's nice when they feel like they have to take the roster spot from somebody.
Yes.
And I'm thinking about, you know, Brooks Like, and I'm thinking about Dominic Moore. I'm thinking about Eric Fair. I'm thinking about Matt Martin now. A lot of guys get brought in and then don't play.
Yes.
Like, it looks like they're going to play, and then they just wind up losing their jobs. And I'm wondering to what extent, in the summer, when the Leafs are looking to retool and make an even bigger push, you know, vets are going to look at that and say, yeah, you say I got a gig, but you've also got all these great young players, and maybe I don't want to go to a club where I think I'm going to play.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wind up in the AHL on waivers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it'll be hard to attract the fourth line type.
And we're not done finding that type,
no.
I don't think.
No, the Leafs aren't. The other side, though, is for the first time, not a star, but a good player put together his trade list, and Toronto was on it in Rick Nash. You know, for so long it was, veteran star doesn't want to come here because, A, sometimes the pressure of Toronto, and, two, because you don't have a chance of winning a cup. You want to go where there's a legitimate chance. And, no, they're not going to get Rick Nash. But I found that significant, if we're going to do roster talk, that, you know, Toronto's now a more desirable place.
It's interesting with JVR. To me, I bounce this over to JVR because some people feel like, you know, maybe the Leafs should make a push to trade him and get some help on defense because you could survive without his scoring, even on the power play. But you maybe can't survive throughout the playoffs as far as you'd like to go without improving your back end.
Yes.
And that seems like a very reasonable and logical conclusion. But I bet you any money JVR might sign here. Like, this is wild speculation, but I'm just trying to put myself in his position. You've been with this team that has sucked for so long, but you've also started to put roots down here because he's been here a while.
Yes, he has.
He's one of the few guys who really jumped from one regime to the other. And now the team's starting to look good. And I bet he's starting to get a taste of, oh, wow, this is what they meant when they said, this is what Toronto's like when the team is good.
Yeah.
And we're only getting better. So maybe just, you know, I think guys would prefer to not leave once they put down roots generally for the same reason we all wouldn't.
And it's also a sense of ownership. It's
That's
like
the thing.
What is happening now? I am part of this.
You hear that Erik Karlsson would love to find a way to stay in Ottawa.
Yeah.
Really? You're one of the best defensemen in the world.
You got Eugene Melnyk as an owner. They're going to try to trade everyone.
You got Marian Gaborik as a teammate who probably will never even play, so they don't even hurt him, make sure that they can get rid of him, buy him out at the end of the year. And if he's willing to find a way to make that work, you got to think JVR is looking around him saying, God, there's all these kids. They're going to get me the puck. I'm going to fill up the score sheet for the next. And, you know, he's going to be healthy. He's strong. He's got big hands. And, you know, he doesn't play a real bruising game. So you could see him being healthy and good for at least another 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. The question is that worth $2 million less a year?
Probably not. But is it worth $1 million less a year? I don't know. Honestly, like these are wild speculations. My point is, and this sort of backs up your Rick Nash thought, is that Toronto is a desirable location. It's starting to become a factor in the equation. They've always had to work against it over the last generation. But now the tide is reversing because of the blue wave.
Because of the blue wave, baby.
The blue wave pushes back all tides.
Yeah, it does.
Man, they were something, eh?
Kadri, 5-point night. Marner, before that, 5-point night. Matthews and Nylander. I mean, that's a combination that, you know, looks like they'll be around for the next decade. And yeah, okay, they gave up a lot of shots. But to be to be fair, yeah, 57's a lot. There's no way around it. But Columbus is on this stretch right now where they're averaging over 42, 43 shots a night over their last 5-6 games. Like Tortorella's just said, all right, everyone, when in just shoot, like the opposite of Cabrera or Thomas Cabrera. Remember, he was the classic guy for me. Shoot the puck. And they're doing the opposite. So to be fair, that's the best defense I got.
That's generous.
Yeah.
But it's also, no, you're right. Like they were throwing wild, crazy. I mean, the high danger scoring chances, Toronto actually outchanced them, which you wouldn't think in a night where you give up 57 shots. So here's my concern.
Okay.
Obviously, the offense is exciting.
Yes.
And obviously, we all love the roster changes and the lineup shift. Because as you and I discussed, rather go down swinging than playing it safe and boring, right?
Yeah, 100%.
So we got that now. Oh, we got that now. But man, they're working Freddie. They are working Freddie hard.
Yeah.
He made 54 stops last night. And that's great now, but I hope once he gets into the playoffs that you're not burning him out. I think we're going to start to... Like, if you're Babcock... And there is potentially playoff seeding at heart now, at stake now, because that wasn't the case before.
Nope.
But now, if you keep this crazy run going, maybe you do improve your odds at a higher playoff seeding.
And that's now a new conversation. And it started.
It's just started to enter.
Yeah, it's just starting the last week or so. And part of it is now that they face, you know, they've got another tough game on Saturday. I think it's against the Penguins. But what they have coming up. Not one, not two, not three, but four games against the Buffalo Sabres without Jack Eichel, probably for at least three of those four. The Panthers twice, the Red Wings twice. The Leafs have one of the easiest schedules to finish up this year.
So does that mean you start seeing Curtis a little bit more in net? Get a little McElhinney action going? Garrett Sparks maybe gets a spot star. I don't know.
I've been yelling and screaming for more Curtis McElhinney. He's played well. You know, as backup goaltenders go, he's playing well. I'd love to see him in the lineup.
Both Lou and Babcock don't have any reservation about throwing that starter out there and saying, you're our guy, you just work us to the end.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is, you could see last night, like, that was the recipe for beating everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Just score like crazy and have your goalie stand on his head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
not super sustainable as a plan, though. The Leafs' PDO is through the roof.
That's the concern. The question is, when that regresses...
Which
it will. What sort of team will you have? And I still think you'll have a great team. I mean, yes, you've got to play a little better defensively, but don't you dare. I don't want to hear about, you know, I don't want any changes to these roster lineups.
Defensive of it. And I get that because this is fun.
Look,
I was there with you. I was there with you, Maddie. I was saying, get rid of the dump it, you know, pucks in deep, get the chip it out of the zone, out of your system. Let them skate. Let them be creative. And they are that.
Yeah.
But, you know, Babcock might have been a little right when he said this wouldn't be our best defensive lineup.
Bob, they've won nine of their last 10.
It is absolutely true. And it sounds weird to complain. But
I'm not going to complain.
Right. But as you know, that not all winning streaks are created equal.
They beat Nashville.
Right, like Cleveland. Cleveland won what, 19-23 in one stretch, something like that. Yeah, they stunk while they did it, but they beat bottom feeders. And you know, not all winning streaks are created equal. I'm not gonna denigrate the quality of how the team is playing, but you can't ignore the fact that defensively, there are still clearly weaknesses.
Yes,
and they're winning because they're scoring at an outrageous clip.
Yep,
and the goaltending is outrageously high.
Yes. All of that is true. But also in the streak, they beat Tampa. They beat Columbus. They beat Nashville. They have beaten good teams as well.
Nashville was a gimme. Like, it was a great game, but that was a bit of a push. They let them back into the game. They won in overtime.
Yeah, but they beat Pekka Rinne and they've beat Vasilevsky. They've beaten some good goaltenders.
Absolutely. I think the Tampa win was terrific in the same way the Boston loss was bad. You take one and you try to forget the other. I don't want to be that guy who always tries to find the gray cloud behind the silver lining.
Yeah.
Although I am that guy.
You are right now.
But you know as well as I do that you flip that on its head and some of those shots don't start going in. Like right now, Kadri has his hat trick and he looks like he can't be stopped. He's on pace for 30 goals. He looks like the guy we love. But it was only a few weeks ago he couldn't score and everyone's talking about it. He was like a dry chicken bone out there, like cracked and brittle. His game had nothing, no life to it.
Then he got Marner. He got Marnered, and now everything is different.
Is it always going to stay that way? Because Marner was another guy that apparently couldn't score, and now he can.
Yeah, because you always flipped around
line
to line.
It's streaky, Matt. It's streaky.
Okay, but what do you want? What do you want? You know, we live in this culture now where everyone just complains and complains and complains.
I wanted Chris Tanev in the offseason, and I want him now.
Okay.
What's so wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that.
Although I will say the Ron Hainsey move, like, bravo. Mwah, he said, smacking his fingers against his lips in that Italian chef Delicio way.
Yeah.
Wow, has he ever been something, eh? What a signing.
It's been a great signing.
Oh, man. I'm really curious to see how this team moves forward at the deadline. I don't expect anything big.
No, I don't expect anything big as well.
But I also don't rule out the can we win now mentality.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, and you shouldn't.
I don't think that'll happen, but it could. It could.
The thing is, Toronto has a harder task because just Boston and Tampa in front of you. By the way,
do you think the Leafs could beat either one of them in a 7-game series?
Yes.
Right now?
Yes.
Could or is likely to?
Could.
I'm with you there. Yeah. I think it's not an unreasonable chance, but it's not a great chance either.
We'll see at the end of the year. Part of it is just Boston is, you know, all they do is, you know, they're just this unstoppable winning machine, except when they play Buffalo. They lose to the Sabres this week, which is, again, as a reminder, don't gamble on sports. By the way, with trade deadline coming, Bob, here's a prediction. Remember for many, many years, at trade deadline day, you always heard this phrase, they need a Gary Roberts type. If Gary Roberts was in the league, it's, hey, go grab Gary Roberts. When he was out, it was still, they need a Gary Roberts type player. You know who the new Gary Roberts type player is?
No matter who.
Brian Boyle. Brian Boyle has now become that guy. That,
do you mean just in the sense of?
Dependable, you know what you're going to get.
Dependable vet.
Dependable vet. It's not going to cost you a ton to get him. You know, no one's going to say, yeah, you need one of those Drew Doughty types.
Well, you got to admit, Brian Boyle did an awful good job on the Leafs.
He did. Oh, yeah. But
turn that fourth line around.
I've heard that expression a ton recently. And you are going to hear that more and more on Trade Center, on its stories you read about the deadline. Brian Boyle has now replaced Gary Roberts as the arbitrary good player, but won't cost you a ton, but you know he can help player.
So I think it's the mystique of the face-off winners. Like, everybody's always saying, you know, they need a guy who can win draws in key situations.
Yeah, and Antoine Vermette's
name. It was the Manny Malhotra and the Boyd Gordon and these, you know, these guys who are sort of fringe players.
Face-off specialist.
But a face-off specialist.
Yeah. Hey, let me tell you, late in the game, when you're in your own defensive zone, you're going to want you're going to want blank on the ice. Oh, yeah.
That's one of my favorite cliches is they got to go out and someone who can win some draws.
Yeah.
Which is another way of saying a guy who's not really that good, but he has one effective skill that is fairly handy.
Well, no one wants to say, you know what the Leafs need? They need Malkin. They need a Malkin type. You know, you're going to get laughed out of the room. But you say a Brian Boyle type, and everyone's like, yes, 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 I agree.
This is going to be so boring, Matt, but that's why I love the NBA versus the NHL in this particular case. Because you actually could say about a team like Cleveland, they just need to change the whole team. So they did.
So they did.
In the NHL, you're like, we need somebody we can plug in as our 15th guy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's a night and day difference. Is there any player more bummed out right now than Erik Karlsson? You know, just ankle issues, bad team, no one goes there, bad owner, and they're about to trade everyone, and he's going to be the last one there.
That's always one of those tough situations. you talked about Rick Nash earlier, and he was kind of that guy when he was in Columbus, that idea of the poor lost soul stranded on a crappy island.
Yeah.
And Erik Karlsson, and you and I have talked about this on the pod before, if we could go in, if we could hire a SWAT team and basically go in with balaclavas and rescue someone from their situation.
SEAL Team 6 him.
100%. We would be right in there.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? Really, anywhere would be better.
Mm-hmm. Hey, come to the Maple Leafs. He's got 1 year after this year, and the Leafs don't have to pay Matthews and Marner.
If, in fact, and I realize that, you know, this is not going to happen. Can you imagine if the Leafs dumped Phaneuf on Ottawa and then got Karlsson back from them?
Oh, it would be glorious.
The Battle of Ontario would be over.
Oh, my
over.
God.
It's over. John Stop Torrey. It. He's already dead.
If that happened, John Torrey would have to, like, there's a new holiday in Toronto. Just like, no one needs to go to work today. No one, just everyone go home. Most of you are drunk, so you shouldn't really be operating at the machine store.
So you're working within machines. The belly of the beast in the mainstream media. So what is the fan? What's the drumbeat right now? Who's the outrageous name that we know that will never come to the Leafs that everyone wants? Is it still Drew Doughty?
You know what the name is, Bob?
It was John Tavares. It was Steven Stamkos. Who is it this year that the Leafs can't get but everyone wants?
I'm going to disappoint you.
No.
It's no one.
No, not the even
fan,
Doughty?
No, the fans are smart. You know what it is? Okay, here's a perfect example. I think it was Scott MacArthur's show. Just did one of those polls. Who would you like to see? And it was Nash, Mike Green, depth forward, and then in brackets said name, depth defenseman, give a guy. Depth defenseman, give a guy was the number one answer. It wasn't even the shiny toys.
Well, you got to admit, of all those options, do you want Mike Green? I don't want Mike Green.
It's like everything. The boring answer is if you don't have to give up a ton to get him. But yeah, I mean, right now the fan base is, I think because the team is so
good. I'm so disappointed in Leafs Nation, Matt. Sorry to interrupt, but come on. Erik Karlsson's unhappy. John Tavares. Uh-huh. You know, the Islanders are a mess. Drew Doughty's on the cusp of free agency. Come on. Let's get crazy.
Flip it around this way. The team is satiated.
I know, that's
the
what it
team is.
Is
satiated.
See, that's the thing.
Yeah, they're good. It's like, hey, look at all this talent here. And because you have faith in the organization, you believe that Liljegren eventually is going to be a good player. And Andreas Johnsson, who was, you know, an all-star with the Marlies, and this guy and that guy.
Matt, so when you're good. Getting Epsom salts at home, why do you need to look elsewhere?
Isn't it
romantic?
I thought this house smelled like sex. I came in, damn, there's some serious sexing going on.
Oh, man, you can't say that in my home.
There's no one in your home.
That's a good point. It's just you and I. Yeah. But still, I feel like you've disrespected the threshold, but, well, I'm not exactly.
Where do you think Charlotte came from?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, got sort of a question about this goes from the NHL to the Raptors.
Okay,
but sorry. Any final thoughts on the Leafs?
No, not really. It's hard to really talk about a team that's playing so fun. Like, do you want to just say, "Hey, they're fun"?
Yeah,
they're fun.
They're fun.
They're totally fun. Yeah. This is great. Matthews looks amazing. Nylander looks expensive. Marner's been playing great. Like, this is really, really.
Yeah.
This has been a hoot. Look, I should warn you ahead of time. Yeah. I woke up this morning worried about everything. I don't know why, but I was worried about the Leafs.
Yeah.
I was worried about the Raptors. I was worried about the Jays. So whatever Toronto topic you throw at me, I'm going to be.
You're the Warrior Ward?
I am that guy.
Okay, I'm going to try.
Not Debbie Downer. I'm more like the hand wringer.
Okay. Well, let me.
Well, I don't say it's bad. I just say it could be bad. The sky will fall. It's all right. Is falling.
Actually, that goes into sort of a theme here. The Ottawa Senators got to a Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Dion Phaneuf in Game 6, the last playoff game they won, played 22 minutes. Phaneuf is gone. Ottawa is tanking. It's a reminder how fast things can go. The Raptors beat up on the Bulls last night. The Bulls, a couple of years ago, had an MVP in Derrick Rose and won 62 games. And everything is now, they are now in full tank mode. So my message is, unring those hands, Bob, when it comes to the Raptors. And I'm trying to do more of this.
Is this a life is short kind of thing? Or there's nothing actually to worry about?
This is a enjoy the hell out of these Raptors. Like, I don't know what it was last day. I sort of got reminded. I'm like, they won another game by 20 points. And not the Miami Heat game, which was a great third quarter and a horrible final 3 minutes. But they're beating everyone up by 20. The starters aren't playing in the fourth quarter. Like, this is the best Raptors team in the history of the franchise. So I'm just telling people, you know, smell the roses.
Do you remember the year they went in and lost in the first round of the Brooklyn Nets?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Did you have tons of high expectations for them?
No.
No, me neither. And no. It was a great series. They probably should have won it. And it came down to an exciting last couple minutes in Game 7.
Yeah.
And Paul Pierce, who is a basketball genius and a clutch wizard, he killed him.
Yeah.
Joe Johnson, too. But anyway, the point is that year was totally fun because you couldn't really lose. You could only win.
Yeah.
And the next year wasn't so great, the 4-and-out to the Wizards. And then you had a couple good pushes, some deeper pushes. But this year, the Celtics have their own problems. Mm-hmm. Defensively, for the best defensive team in the NBA, they haven't looked that great lately. Cleveland, even though they've revamped the lineup, this is the most vulnerable they have ever been by a long shot.
Yes.
And the Raptors have never been better.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have stakes.
Yeah,
and
we do.
It really hit me. You know when it hit me? It was that Miami game. Because I looked at that and I thought, well, maybe they could give them a run in the first round. Like, they could easily play them in the first round.
Yeah.
Maybe Miami with a Dwayne Wade pushes back hard enough that they actually win. And you know what would happen then, Matt?
Mm.
I would be crushed.
Oh, yeah.
Crushed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. The stakes, it's funny. The stakes are more real for the Raptors than they are for the Leafs. And I'll tell you right now, Bob, game one of the playoffs, if they lose game one, I will waive my no swearing policy on this podcast because I will be so livid. Like, there's very few like the things that push my buttons right now. The top two is Raptors performances in game one of the playoffs and the Blue Jays. Oh, we just couldn't afford that guy. Like, those are the and owner,
those are your two red flags
and owners that, you know, that hold cities hostage to get money because they're billionaires and they need
so
more
that's
money.
The podium from hell.
Yeah, that's my three. That
gold,
Olympic
silver,
team.
Bronze.
Yeah. Those are the three things. If the Raptors lose game one, if they just, here's it. You win game one, you win game two. If you lose game three, fine. And then you win game four and five. Do what every great team in the NBA does in the playoffs. Give me one of those. Because you know what? We've never had one of those either.
You know what's worrying me is the Cleveland is now assuming the mantle of the underdog take that back mantle.
Yeah.
Right? Like the Raptors had that. Because nobody was really paying attention to them. And the guys were able to spin that off into the no one believes in us.
Yeah.
And for whatever bizarre reason, that actually works in sports.
It does.
Is when guys believe no one believes in us. And then they band together and push even harder. I don't know why it works, but it does.
Yeah.
But don't you feel like Cleveland now has the sort of underdog authority in the East?
They do, but I'll give a different analogy because I think the Raptors can still, they're never on national TV. No one talks about them.
Every time they're not on national TV, I'm so happy.
Yeah. Oh, it's great because it still gives them that chip. You know who the Cleveland Cavaliers are? You know who LeBron James is?
No, who?
Just got out. He just got out of a bad marriage and he's dating someone new and he's now working out five times a week and he's eating right and he looks better. It's like, whoa, did you see Steve? You haven't seen Steve in a while. Steve looks great. That's what it's like. The Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, like all those guys, it didn't work. And I feel bad for Isaiah Thomas, even though he probably shouldn't have been bitching and complaining about what was going on in Cleveland. Nonetheless, that's LeBron. He's like fancy free.
My impression of Boston is that it's a pretty well run organization from the top down. And he got to Cleveland and probably was not used to the idea that this is just simply LeBron's team.
Yeah.
And you show up there. Do you ever see that Twilight Zone episode a long time ago? And for kids who don't know what the Twilight Zone was, it was a mystery TV show anthology program.
Yeah.
And there was the one kid who had the magic powers and he could like send you off to like the cornfields.
Oh, yeah. And you could, you had to always think good thoughts.
Always think good thoughts. Yeah. Right. And everyone walked around on eggshells because they didn't want to be sent to the cornfield by the magic kid.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's the Cleveland Cavaliers with LeBron. You just have to walk around. It's good, LeBron.
It's good, LeBron.
It's very, very good you did that.
Please, LeBron, do not include me in some passive aggressive Facebook or Twitter or, you know, anything on social media.
Tristan Thompson, J.R. Smith, cha-ching.
Yeah.
LeBron likes you. He wants you here. LeBron's a billion-dollar athlete.
Yep.
Guess what? You got a car. And now Jordan Clarkson already, you can see it. LeBron's probably looking at him going, yep, I like that guy.
Yeah.
$60 million.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%. I'm
so anyway, to the original point, though, Isaiah Thomas probably wasn't familiar with that.
No.
Got there, started acting as though this was supposed to be like a sane environment and was punished for it.
Oh, yeah. Now, he probably should have said, hey, they were bad defensively before I got here. You probably shouldn't be saying it when you are, by all statistical measure,
terrible
the worst
yourself, right?
not hyperbole, the worst defensive player in the league. Like, not, that guy, he stinks. He's the worst. No, actually the worst.
Coming off of major surgery.
Yeah.
Replacing Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
Not really doing much to help and doing a whole lot to hurt.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a good time to shut up.
About the same point.
As the great Archie Bunker used to say, Maddie.
Yeah.
Shut up, you.
Is that how he said it?
I thought that was actually a pretty good Archie Bunker. How'd I do? Let me try that
again.
Sound
a little British.
Like I was talking, to him. You be Meathead.
Okay.
Shut up, you Meathead. How'd I do?
Okay, better. That one better?
Okay, thanks. First one, I probably tried a little harder.
First
too.
One had a little bit of British. I'll just say this about Isaiah Thomas. It did. It sounded like I was kind of a tea.
Right.
Isaiah went from thinking I'm about to get max money to now how much more than the veteran minimum?
Right.
Am I gonna
I'm gonna get a 1 year deal for $3 million somewhere to try to improve myself again.
How do you wake
up? 5'9"
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It doesn't help. But you're not explosive anymore.
It's and I know it's weird to say feel bad for athletes that are millionaires, but just think if you were convinced you were gonna be getting $25 million plus a year and now you're hoping for three, damn, that is difficult.
So just to bring this back to the Raptors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The situation is such that the Raptors have never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
They, like you say, you're 100% right. They've never been this good.
Yeah.
The East has never been this open. And a berth in the finals, which I think would satisfy people. I don't think you have to win. I think you just have to get through the East.
Yes.
And that would be that would be victory for this team.
Yeah, and just don't get blown up by 30 to Golden State, and that's a win.
Right, but even if you did, like it's kind of almost like, remember when the Philadelphia 76ers made it to the finals with Allen Iverson? They won one game against the Lakers.
They won game one.
Right, shocking. And everyone's like, ooh, they're going to do it. And then the Lakers were like, no, they're not.
Yeah, no.
But if we even could be that team, I think people would always remember this squad fondly the same way they remember that Iverson squad fondly in Philadelphia.
Also, though, here's another stake. If the Raptors acquit themselves very well in the playoffs, we won't have next year let's see what they do in the playoffs. Because they've struggled. Even when they win, they get outscored. They struggle. Their stars don't look like stars. So if they actually, play great in the playoffs, play like how they have for the regular season, I mean, you won't put up the same numbers. Everything will get reduced just because defenses play better. Then next year, we won't have that adage.
The Raptors are like bizarro world for NBA success. They don't really have stars. The stars get along. Their best player is a guy who came into the league as a leaper without much of a shot and somehow turned himself into a perennial NBA team player.
Yep.
Their next best player was a guy who was a miscreant with talent who somehow decided maybe I won't attitude myself out of the league.
Yeah.
Dwayne Casey was a guy who came out of nowhere, was basically run out of the NCAA for his time in Kentucky, found a second life after being in Japan and all over the world. And now he looks like he could be coach of the year this year.
Yep.
Conceivably.
He's the best. Yeah. He's doing the best job.
Masai Ujiri, who pulls himself, out of the basketball hinterland to turn himself into arguably the best executive in the whole game. Like, who the hell are these guys? Because literally none of them. Poeltl and Siakam are going on vacation together. That's a show.
Yes. Oh my God. Who
are these guys?
If you want racial harmony, it's Poeltl and Siakam hanging out together.
Is it Say 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 by Michael Jackson and Paul McCartney, where we can just feel good about it?
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's Ebony and Ivory.
Who was in Ebony and Ivory? It was Stevie Wonder and
I don't remember. I'm just thinking of Joe Piscopo and from Saturday Night Live when he played Frank Sinatra.
Singing that tune?
Yeah.
Piscopo.
You are black and I am white. You are blind as a bat and I have sight.
You know what? Can we take a quick moment and celebrate that Piscopo at his best was actually pretty damn funny?
Oh, yeah. Piscopo absolutely has moments, you know?
Yeah, it got weird, though, after. He got into bodybuilding.
Yeah.
He turned into, like, a super bodybuilding health guy.
I don't like comedians when, like, that's my only concern. Like, that's the great thing about Dave Chappelle. He's still doing well despite the muscles. Because I find, like, comedians got to be a little doughy. You got to be a little schleppy.
Who is the most fit comedian?
Carrot Top. Have you seen Carrot Top?
I haven't.
No joke.
Are we calling him a comedian?
You know what?
He does comedy.
He does comedy. He gets paid very well for it. And is a resident. I think he had a residency in Vegas. But Carrot Top, if you want to discount him, that's fine.
Okay, so let's discount him because I'm actually curious. Who is the most physically fit comedian? Kevin Hart.
Yes, Kevin
that's
Hart.
An easy one.
Yes,
but he's a movie star now more than a comedian. He's kind of more like the funnier Rock.
He's more of an entertainer. Like, like his act is more about energy and just, you know, it's
although he does do stand-up. I know, I mean, but you can't take that away from him.
No. But his stand-up is not exactly... Like, if you actually just read beat for beat the jokes, they're not great. It's more what he does with
it. But in fairness, though, he... can do, like, he could do a stand-up tour and has done them.
Yes, of course he can.
And people go to see him.
Yeah.
He is a comedian.
He is a comedian, yes.
So I'm going with Kevin Hart. Yeah, Kevin Hart breaks the mold. He is the fittest comedian going.
Yeah, he is.
He's the opposite of Phil Kessel.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we had this conversation a few weeks ago about, like, who is the least athletic-looking athlete?
Yeah.
It was Kessel.
It's Phil Kessel. But it has to be someone who's also elite.
Right. Who but is Kevin Hart's elite.
Yeah. Oh, no, he is. 100%. Yeah, I mean,
I actually think he's kind of funny. I never really cared for him much as a stand-up.
Yes, that's where I agree. He's a great entertainer.
He's very easy to watch. We went and watched Jumanji.
Yeah.
That's just a good family movie. Holy Jesus, Dwayne Johnson is awesome.
Yeah.
He came and did OTR back in the day.
Were you
on the team when he
did? Nope, that was before I got there.
So he was The Rock, and he came in and he did a one-on-one with Landsberg, and he was in character.
Yes, he was.
I don't think that there was ever a time when he wasn't The Rock in his life. He just seemed like a guy who was always on.
That's got to be tiring. Like, I don't think I could be The Rock, you know, like, just do the persona for maybe an hour. But after that, I'm like, can I just take a break here? Like, you know, and just watch old Joe Piscopo sketches, like just something where I'm not so intense.
My impression was in the green room, if you said to him, Dwayne, Rock, can we get you anything? He would be like, The Rock will have the cantaloupe and perhaps a bagel.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you can smell what The Rock needs from the commissary.
It's funny. I'm glad he worked on that because that never worked on stage before. Can you smell what's in The Rock's commissary? Commissary.
It doesn't matter.
Whatever. Moving
cafeteria.
On. Cafeteria.
I think every building should have a cafeteria. That's just a random thought for the day. That's my one dot, dot, dot.
Oh.
Every building should have a cafeteria.
Yes. Because
if you house more than 25 people at a time, you should have a cafeteria.
Because the thing of the cafeteria is, A, there's always the mystery of, ooh,
what's there?
What's there
every
today?
Day? It's every the best day. Part of your day.
Yeah.
Remember when we worked together? Well, you still kind of work at CTV.
Yeah.
But when we were there, like, every day after the show is, ooh, what are they serving?
What's serving the cafe? Okay, we got to go down this rabbit hole for 18 minutes. Because here's a couple thoughts on the cafeteria. One, don't put up the weekly menu because that robs us. I don't want to know until the moment I see the food. I don't want to know what's that lasagna's on Wednesday. I want to walk in and say, hey, lasagna. You know, like that's the first thing. But the other is the cafeteria binds people together because when the food is bad, it's one thing that everyone shares in common is, oh my God, you see what's at the caf?
You're so right. And there's a certain kind of person who just won't get something if they don't like it. But for most of us, you force yourself to get something.
Yeah.
So they'll have like the Swiss steak wrap inside an eggplant.
Yeah.
And you look at it and you go, well, that certainly looks like a few meals that didn't get finished put together.
Yeah.
But you eat it.
Yeah.
And then you sit there and you kind of just get that scowl on your face. Yeah.
What am I doing?
Oh, and come on. Like, you're not excited when they have, like, fish and chips day?
Oh, of course.
Oh, my God. Even if I... And you know me, Matt. Mm-hmm. You know how I can tuck away the groceries.
Yeah.
I could eat my lunch, see that they have fish and chips, and give her on around just because it's fish and chips.
Now, people hearing this might think that's just Bob being folksy, but it's not. There were days that Off the Record where Bob actually had... two lunches.
All of them. All the entrees look good.
And the best, Michael Landsberg still talks about this. The one time when you had two lunches and you sat and you ate it all like it was no big deal. You're like, what? Just sitting here eating.
We used to work on the other side of the building, so it'd be a good 5-minute walk to the cafeteria and then back to the desks. And I could never wait to get back to the desk, so I would be eating on the walk back to our desks and frequently mostly finished.
Yeah, that stroganoff is not going to make the desk. It will not. It'll make the parking lot. By the time you get to the desk,
taking
it's gone.
Bets by what part of the building will this be gone?
Yeah.
Elevator. That's dusted by the elevator.
And one of my favorite moments was I like stealing people's food. And one time Bob had a full, you know, the full 6-foot or foot long sub. And I didn't take a bite on the end. I took a giant bite right in the middle where I almost severed it, so it was now two smaller subs.
And it was like a cartoon bite where you could see the half parabola teeth marks.
Yeah, like
in a crescent.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That was.
Yeah, that was God.
Good moment.
Those were funny days.
Yeah.
So, want to talk Jays? I kind of don't, and that's what I find interesting about this. I'm way more interested in. You know what's so neat about baseball this year is we always cry about how stupid teams are.
Yeah.
And now they're smart and everyone hates it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. The offseason is far more interesting. You know, when.
Desperation. Yeah. Desperation makes for crazy moves. Crazy moves make for intrigue.
Yeah. Well, think about this. There haven't been the dumb contracts. How much of that is teams are smarter, teams have more analytic guys, Moneyball and all that? How much of that is just everyone hates Scott Boras? How much of that is Houston and Cleveland tanked for a whole bunch of years? You know, it's interesting that, you know, the PA's pissed off, they're screaming collusion. And what I found most interesting was Rob Manfred saying, no, all teams want to win. And yet the GM of the Seattle Mariners said, yeah, there's about 10 teams that don't want to win. You know, like, and it's just disingenuous.
So many of the great themes of modern sports come up in this offseason. Are you expected to try to win every year? Is the goal to do is the best you can every single time? And do I think there's collusion? I think there's collusion in the sense that there's probably a gentleman's agreement amongst owners that you don't want to get too nuts with the spending. And they're on the threshold of some really big free agents.
Yeah.
You know, some are available now, some are available next year, but you could see the whole market being redefined in the next 2 or 3 years.
Oh, everyone's waiting for part of it's Harper and Machado.
I was going to say Machado and Harper are the two names that really come to mind. That, you know, people have talked about Harper being a $400 million-plus guy.
Yep.
That would, you know, you and I were in the sports world when they started handing out million-dollar contracts, and people went crazy. I still remember the first $3 million contract in baseball. I believe it was Kirby Puckett, followed by Robin Yount, and people were astonished that you could pay someone $3 million. It wasn't that long ago.
If you're a linebacker, how much do you hate baseball?
So true. I know you've always said that. Like you're making league minimum in the NFL for getting your brains drilled in.
It's like, wait a minute. The medicine has come out to find out if I have a concussion and that center fielder just got $40 million a year.
Okay, so Matt, here is, you know, you had your hierarchy of things that bug you.
Yep.
Here's my hierarchy of what kids should want to be when they grow up if they're athletes. Lefty specialist reliever that pitches into his 40s.
Yep.
Pro golfer on any of the tours, male or female.
Yep.
Owner.
Yeah. Be an owner.
In that owner.
Well, ooh, actually, no. Owner now stinks because everyone hates the owner.
I was going to say, you make all the money, but you take a lot of grief.
Yeah, people you take don't a lot like of you. Grief. It's like, listen, you work hard, you be a billionaire like me, but I'm going to be up here lording over
Jerry Richardson didn't really help the owner's case, did he?
They
were just starting to get over Donald Sterling, and then Jerry Richardson pops up. It doesn't seem like the best group of people.
No, well, you know, they're psychopaths.
Mark Cuban's running as a Democrat or a Republican, where he thinks he can win more easily.
But to be that, you have to be a bit of a psychopath. Like, I think, you know, if you're going, it's like
nobody stumbles into a billion.
No.
Like, it has to be the prime mover of your life has to be, how do I make my business bigger? It has to be.
Oh, yeah. And just that level of cutthroat. I can never do it. I could never, ever do it just because I'm like, I'm happy. I'm good. I don't want to fire them. We're fine. All right, everyone, let's go on a fun run. Speaking of fun. Speaking of fun. You know what's fun, Bob?
What's fun?
You know what's a lot of fun? Going to live sporting events. You know what's not fun? When you buy your ticket, and it's in American money. So now instead of that $50 ticket, it's now $75. Well, there's one place you can go, Bob, where that's done. It's Seat Giant. Go to seatgiant.ca. They're our new Canadian partner. Concert tickets, sporting events, whatever you want. And it is a Canadian-owned and operated company. They guarantee every ticket's legit. And here's what you got to do. Do you want to save some money? Of course you do. What sort of dummy doesn't? Well, when you go to seatgiant.ca, use the discount code Bob and Matt at checkout to save money. You just click the add button, then the review order button. You put in your discount code. It'll show up before you confirm your order. Bang! You save money. We get a tiny kickback because the podcast ain't free. SeatGiant.ca, discount code Bob and Matt.
I'll be using SeatGiant for the first time today.
Ooh.
To get tickets to the season opener, the home opener for the Jays.
Yep.
And I'm trying to decide, do I want to go for the 500s for $44 or do I want to go for the 100s out in the outfield for $90? I want to take my dad's birthday is in March.
Yeah.
So I figure I'll just get us tickets to the home opener and then we'll go in at the end of March.
Yeah.
So I'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah.
I mean, I won't actually do the transaction myself. My wife will do it because I don't trust myself with a credit card on the internet.
Yeah.
It's probably better I just don't get good at using my credit card on the internet.
Some things, yeah, some skills you don't need. And again, and tell Sandra to put Bob and Matt in the discount.
So we can get the discount.
And then you're going
to
get
how would I not contribute to my own discount?
It is win-win.
Exactly.
Like it's like
I get
Inception.
The tickets at a great price.
Yeah.
And I get a kickback.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet, sweet.
Sweet, sweet. So I was sitting at a bar yesterday.
Okay. I find that hard to believe, but all right.
For Valentine's Day. And My Girl came on by Smokey Robinson. And the bartender and some of the back, they started, you could see they were singing along a little bit. And just when that, it made me realize, what are things out there that everyone universally likes? We live in a world where everyone complains and yells and argues and, you know, accuses people of being this, that, or other thing. What are the things that are universally loved?
What crosses over party lines? What crosses the aisle?
Yes.
Yeah, something that can be embraced by all.
Like even the most horrible racist, the sort of racist who won't get buried in a cemetery if there's someone in that cemetery who is black. Like I'm talking, they're going to the grave with their racism. When they hear,
I got... Is that a thing?
Yeah. Oh yeah, there are those racists
Sweet
out there.
Jesus.
I know, that's the... So just remember, when you accuse someone who makes a bad joke on Twitter of being a racist... Just remember, there is the old guy who's on a porch who will not get... Anyway, even that horrible human being will sing along, I Got Sunshine on a Cloudy
Day. Now, that's not the most attractive intro to this top five. The
no.
idea that this is the way in which you are kind of like the worst people in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, good.
Can we reframe it and just say this is something that makes everyone feel good?
Yeah. Yeah. What are the things that everyone universally, it makes them feel
right.
good?
And now, does it have to be like an entertainment property or can it be pizza?
I'm going to list off a bunch of
things.
Can it
be pizza?
Yeah, absolutely it can be pizza.
Because pizza's
good, except for it might not be universally loved because of the complex carbohydrates and people are carbs. People get scared of pizza.
Your list better be good if it's more lovable universally than pizza.
I'm going to throw it a bunch.
All right, let's see how you do.
All right, first, My Girl. Smokey Robinson. Everyone loves that song. Everyone. It's a perfect song. Shawshank Redemption. Kraft Dinner. Phil Hartman, the first decade of Eddie Murphy, the smell of a fresh cut lawn, that first warm day when patios are open, and finally, McDonald's French fries when you're hungover.
Okay, so let's go one by one here, because that is a heck of a list. By the way, something that I would add to that.
Yeah, there's more.
Yeah, there's millions.
There's millions. Well,
The Simpsons, the first 10 years of The Simpsons, generally,
yep.
created a dialogue for everyone to share in. And this is an old school one, but in 1962, Chubby Checker's The Twist.
Yeah.
Which was a phenomenal. Like my dad loves to tell a story about it. He saw my baba, the Ukrainian immigrant, come. She was at a wedding, and there she was dancing The Twist.
Yeah. You could add YMCA at a wedding.
That's a really good one, too. Everybody loves it when it comes on.
Everybody loves it when it comes on.
Lose your cool, gang, and get out there and pretend that you are the construction worker.
Exactly. And look at you spell. So, yeah.
Okay, so let's go through these.
Yeah. So, Shawshank Redemption.
Hard to argue.
Yeah. Kraft Dinner.
I'm going to disagree with that one because we found out a little bit more about what's in Kraft Dinner.
Deliciousness?
Let's just say that abnormally attractive yellowy-orangey look.
Comes directly from the extract of a flower?
Yeah, exactly.
Hooray. Okay.
Not so good for you, Matt.
Phil Hartman.
Oh, yeah. No question.
Universally.
And there's probably a few others. Like John Candy, I think, is someone that everybody loves. Mm-hmm. And anybody else?
But John Candy had, like, I was thinking about someone, yeah, but John Candy had some stinkers. Like his last, like, you know, had some stinker movies.
Well, I'm sure I don't have the IMDb open, but I'm pretty sure Phil Hartman had some too.
But he was never the star. Like he was in Bad Things, but he was never the headliner of a bad movie.
I'm going to disagree with you here, Maddie. I think that John Candy is more universally loved and lovable than Phil Hartman, whom I also adore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But John Candy is like the preeminent lovable guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like who makes you feel better than him. Flintstones, meet the Flintstones. Oh, he was,
listen, I love John Candy. I'm trying to be very severe with my list.
Okay. Okay, we'll agree to disagree on that one, but I don't dislike your pick.
Yeah, first decade of Eddie Murphy.
I'm trying to think if there's anything bad. When did it go south for him? I mean, he had Beverly Hills Cop, Trading Places.
Yeah, you know, when Coming you watch to the, America,
when you watch
SNL.
Those stand-up specials now, they didn't date very well.
Yeah, I understand, but you have to... It's at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's...
Eddie Murphy in 1983 was about as big as you could be as a movie star.
Yes.
He's probably the biggest movie star of my lifetime, I would think. Him or Schwarzenegger. Schwarzenegger was awfully big for a while, too.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Cruise-ish. Yeah.
Tom Cruise, still going. We talk
unbelievable.
About
great runner. Yeah. Best runner.
Best runner. The smell of fresh-cut lawn.
Which I actually read somewhere is the... Actually, there's a certain hormone that's released by the grass when it's cut.
Yeah.
Indicating its terror in its final moments.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I read that, yeah.
You did not.
I did.
That's a horror. Who would come up with that?
Maybe scientists?
Dear scientists, how about not ruin fresh-cut lawns? There are still diseases out there. First warm day when the patios are open.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Although the one thing I don't like about it, and I'm with you, obviously, it's hard not to be behind that, but the one thing is here in Toronto, that day, the streets are still filthy. So you're walking around pretending it's like all nice, and you're in grungy downtown dirt, and there's muck puddles everywhere.
At the Black Bull on Queen Street, French fries and bottles of Coors Light on that first day.
It's great.
Glorious.
I'm with you there, except for it takes about a month and a half for the streets to stop being winter dirty.
That is true. And finally, McDonald's French fries when you're hungover.
So good. Even just normal. Like, we couldn't eat them now.
Yeah.
It's Lent for me, so I've given up everything.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But McDonald's fries, you and I have talked about this on the pod before.
Yep.
The mystery of the fry, which is like the perfectly constructed snack food. It's repeatable,
mm-hmm.
and it's like a pitcher's perfect delivery. It's repeatable,
yep.
and it delivers punch
yeah.
every oh, yeah. single time.
It's Clayton Kershaw. Regular season Clayton Kershaw. Yeah!
You still owe me a steak dinner for the Kershaw 25, you stinking bastard.
So back to French fries. I would recommend Malcolm Gladwell on his podcast, Untold History. I forget the title of it, but it's his podcast. He did an episode on the McDonald's French fry.
Did he really?
Yes.
Good topic.
And the change, like the transformation now versus what it was back in the 60s and 70s. So I recommend that.
How much science do you think has gone into perfecting the fry? Because it's got to be worth billions to that company.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you think the fry is the number one draw for McDonald's?
Yes, because there are the people in the McChicken camp, the Nugget camp, the Big Mac camp. Everyone's in their own camps, but in every camp is a thing of French fries.
And to your point, it's vegetarian-ish.
Mm-hmm. Ish.
I think they do it in beef tallow, but...
They used to. I don't think they do it anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, oh, God, I don't know why their salt is so good.
Yeah.
Don't you love it when you see that big salty shaky thing?
Oh, yeah.
And then they've got the scooper mm-hmm. where it mixes it all together.
I think we need to switch this because you are on Lent. This
I
is
am.
Horrible.
Look,
for you.
I'm actually leaning forward you on are, the table.
Like, you look defeated. Like your entire body right now looks defeated.
Actually, Matt, you're misreading the situation. I'm ready to pounce over the table and start running to King and Dufferin, my nearest McDonald's.
Hey, maybe I'll go there on my way home, you know? Just get myself some delicious French fries.
I'm making quinoa when you leave.
Oh, my God. Quinoa. The meal of...
Why is it called quinoa? Why is it not quinoa?
You're asking me a pronunciation question?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
It's a good point. So, anything left to cover, or have we gone through everything?
Pretty much everything. By the way, I should also mention, I want to give out another shout out to our lawyer, Jeff Pollack. This guy did my will. Eventually, he'll be doing your will.
We're also contacting him today. It's a very sponsory day here.
Yeah.
In the Makowitz household.
This is very simple. Small law firm. Jeff Pollack. They do everything. Corporate, commercial, real estate law, litigation. 416-777-0088. That number again, 416-777-0088. You can check them online, jeffpollack.com. That's Jeff with a G, small family-run law firm.
So who's a famous double zero in sports? Who's had a double zero?
The only
Brendan Hayward had double zero, I think.
Joe Otto, the old center for the Raiders in the 70s.
Because 88 is a Lindros.
Yep.
So if we have 00 and 88.
Yeah.
Isn't Joel Otto the guy who played center for the Calgary Flames back in the day?
There might have been. There was
a Joel Otto for sure. A
face-off specialist.
Deadly in his own zone on face-offs.
Yeah. So yeah, 00 Joe Otto, 88 would be Lindros. Yeah, 416-777-0088. It is a pizza phone number.
Have you seen Black Panther yet?
I haven't. Comes out tomorrow, I believe.
Oh, is it tomorrow?
I'm sure
it's Isn't out. It out already? I've been in the bubble a little bit for this stuff because of the trailer we're shooting.
Yeah.
We should go together.
Yeah.
I can't go over the weekend. I can't go until the end of next week.
The next time you're going to be free to go to a movie, I've already seen it.
That's certainly true.
Yeah.
The last one we actually saw together was Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Yeah, so no, I can't wait to see Black Panther.
It looks so good.
It does.
The art direction looks really cool. Mm-hmm. I just have a feeling it's going to look amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. I can't wait to see it.
Good acting. It's really, I love to see when genre films go the extra mile and become kind of artsy.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing like Deadpool just went the extra mile in a different way. Not as much artsy, but they went in a different direction.
Deadpool's a terrific movie. People do not give Deadpool the credit it deserves. That's a great movie.
It is so rewatchable. And you know who deserves credit? Is Ryan Reynolds.
He's amazing.
His comedic timing, his pitch, like everything about it is perfect.
Now, what I was told is on set, because he was wearing the mask, they were able to dub in all kinds of lines afterwards.
Yeah.
So they just recorded a field of jokes.
Yeah.
And they just picked their favorite ones.
Okay, that makes sense.
Because he had a mask, so you never had to sync up the dub.
Hmm. Yeah, you know what? That's a good point. Okay, I'm going to detract a point, but still, he was phenomenal in that.
He was really great. And so was the woman. I think her name is Miranda Bacharin, something like that.
I don't know.
She
was in Spy. She was
She was really good, though.
Yeah, she was.
International Women's Day.
What's that?
International Women's Day. That's a funny movie.
That is a funny joke. That would
hurt. Actually, T.J. Miller, who I don't always like very much, mm-hmm. but I thought he was good in that movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was great in that. Great in Silicon Valley. As we end this, Bob, so there's 50-50 chance Monday. Definitely 100% next Thursday.
That's right. And then Monday really depends on how early you can get here. If you're not doing the morning show, you probably are because you do most of them.
I'm doing. Yeah. Landsberg's away, so I will be doing it on Monday. So, yeah.
So it's your shop to run.
That's right.
The Little Shop of Horrors.
That's right.
Is it going to be you and some miscellaneous journalist served up to your particularly cutting wit?
Usually, but they're all in the Olympics. I think it'll be me and Hoagie. Hopefully by then, Mike Hogan will not be talking about the Eagles anymore.
I was going to say, what are the odds that Nick Foles comes up over the course of 5 days?
12 to 14 times. there's one question, Bob, that we never got an answer from. I need it right now.
Oh, what is it?
How much does Charlotte have to play the piano?
Oh, I think it should be at least 4 or 5 times a week, 20 minutes a day.
Mm-hmm. And what does Sandra say?
Less.
Yeah.
And substantially less. Well, apparently I'm pretty rigorous in the study of it because I came through classical music.
Yeah.
I practiced, people may not know that, but I was a trumpet player for a lot of years. And so I'm kind of used to that system.
Yeah.
And, you know, parenting is funny, dude, because you both want to do the best job you can, and you basically see eye to eye on a bunch of stuff, but not everything, and there's only one direction you can go in. You can't go in two, or else you wind up working against each other, and that's terrible.
I can't wait for the fight you guys have on your anniversary. Goodbye, Bob.
Is it time?
It's time.
Is it? Come on. I don't even want to go. I might not be here Monday. Let's do something
it's
fun.
57 minutes. We're done.
We got 2 minutes of fun.
No,
come
you
on,
because
no.
I got to put the intro
Tell
the
me
extra.
Something fun you did this week. I missed you. I didn't see you for a week. Come on. Give me one thing.
I'll tell you off air. We got to go. Give me some Ferris.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.